And Rahim, all praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, we'll have class number 4 in the series of classes of Allah's mercy. And the title of the class today is Sufficient for Me is Allah. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about Allah's mercy, which is Allah's will to flow happiness, reassurance, and peace in the deep inside of the spirit. We will start by reciting a verse of the Quran from Surah number 15, verse number 56, which is mentioned on the tongue of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Surah number 15, verse number 56. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قال ومن يقنط من رحمة ربه إلا الضالون.
Ibrahim said, and who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except those who were astray.
So actually, sisters, in this verse of the Quran, Allah the Almighty is teaching us on the tongue of Prophet Ibrahim that those whom they despair of Allah's mercy are in reality those who are astray. Why? Because a person whose heart is full of faith will never despair of Allah's mercy, even in the thickness of darkness and the gloom of adversity, as he always feels that Allah's grace is close at hand, believing that Allah, the Almighty, has the power to initiate the causes, bring about the results, changing the present and the future. And actually, sister, this is the most important fact and the most important rule of mercy in Islam. You must always believe that only Allah is the one who has the power to initiate the causes and to bring the results and to change the present and the future. None of the human beings can make any change. None of the human beings can initiate any cause or bring about any result. It is only up to Allah. Accordingly, we are not supposed to lose hope in Allah's mercy at all. Accordingly, we must believe that Allah, the Almighty, out of His mercy will support the believer in every hardship and trial. Allah, the Most Merciful, will make an outlet for the believer in every disaster. Believing in the above means that there is no room for despair in Islam, so long we believe in the greatness of Allah's mercy. The above rule was a reality in the life of every prophet. A reality Allah the Almighty taught us in the Quran so that we can have the real examples regarding the belief in Allah's mercy. Inshallah, from today we will learn about Allah's mercy in the life of Allah's prophets. And we will start with Prophet Ibrahim, the father of all the prophets. At the beginning, let us learn who is Prophet Ibrahim. In order to know who is Prophet Ibrahim, we will read from Surah number 16, Surah Al-Nahl, verse 120 and 121. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa. ولم يكن من المشركين شاكرا لأنعمه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنة وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين. We will read 120, 121, 122.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Very if Ibrahim was an ummah, a leader having all the good righteous qualities, was a nation obedient to Allah, Hanif, i.e. to worship none but Allah. And he was not one of those who were mushrikeen. Polytheists?
Idolaters.
He was thankful for his Allah's favors. He, Allah, chose him as an intimate friend and guided him to straight path, Islamic monarchies. And we gave him good in this world, and hereafter he shall be of the righteous.
Okay. So actually, sisters, in this verse of the Quran, Allah the Almighty is informing us about Prophet Ibrahim. And in verse number 120, Allah the Almighty mentioned that Prophet Ibrahim is a nation or a leader. Either two meanings, these two meanings are equal to the word ummah in Arabic. Allah is calling Prophet Ibrahim as an ummah. Ummah in Arabic means either a nation or a leader. How Prophet Ibrahim was a nation? Actually, Prophet Ibrahim was equal to a whole nation in his faith regarding the belief in Allah's oneness and his true obedience to Allah. And today, inshallah, we will learn an example about the belief of Prophet Ibrahim and actually how it is equal to the belief of a whole nation. Also, Prophet Ibrahim is a leader because he was the leader who leads the whole nation to the right path. So he received the reward of the whole nation. Prophet Ibrahim was like a nation and a leader, and he was believing in the oneness of Allah. In verse number 121, Allah the Almighty clarified that Prophet Ibrahim was thankful to Allah for all his favors, and especially that Allah guided him to the straight path. Allah the Almighty granted him good in this worldly life as a reward for his belief in the oneness of Allah, and in the hereafter he shall be of the righteous. This is Prophet Ibrahim, the father of most of the prophets, and actually now we will learn how Prophet Ibrahim was guided to the straight path, a fact which was mentioned in full details in the Quran to prove to us that whoever is looking for the belief in the oneness of Allah, he can follow the example of Prophet Ibrahim. We will read now from Surah number 6, the Cattle, Surah Al-An'am. We will read from verse 74 to verse 83. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال إبراهيم لأبيه آذر أتتخذ أصناما آلهة إني أراك وقومك في ضلال مبين وكذلك نري إبراهيم ملكوت السماوات والأرض وليكون من الموقنين فلما جن عليه الليل رأى كوكبا قال هذا ربي فلما أفل قال لا أحب الآفلين فلما رأى القمر بازغا قال هذا ربي فلما أفل قال لئن لم يهدني ربي لأكونن من القوم الضالين فلما رأى الشمس بازغة قال هذا ربي هذا أكبر فلما أفلت قال يا قوم إني بريء مما تشركون إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا وما أنا من المشركين وحاجه قومه قال أتحاجوني في الله وقد هدان ولا أخاف ما تشركون به إلا أن يشاء ربي شيئا وسع ربي كل شيء علما أفلا تتذكرون وكيف أخاف ما أشركتم ولا تخافون أنكم أشركتم بالله ما لم ينزل به عليكم سلطانا فأي الفريقين أحق بالأمن إن كنتم تعلمون الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون وتلك حجتنا آتيناها إبراهيم على قومه نرفع درجات من نشاء إن ربك حكيم عليم.
And remember when Ibrahim said his father Azar, do you take idols as Aliha gods? Verily, I see you and your people in a manifest error. Thus did we show Ibrahim the kingdom of the heavens and earth that he be one of those who have faith with certainty. When the night covers him over with darkness, he saw a star. He said, this is my Lord. But when it set, he said, I like not those that set. When he saw the moon rising up, he said, this is my Lord. But when it set, he said, unless my Lord guides me, I shall surely be among the people who went astray. When he saw the sun rising up, he said, this is my Lord. This is a greater. But when it set, he said, oh, my people, I'm indeed free from all that you join as partner in worship with Allah. Verily, I have turned my face towards him who has created the heavens and the earth, Hanifa, Islamic monarchies, and I am not of Mushrikin. His people disputed with him. He said, do you dispute with me concerning Allah while he has guided me? And I fear not those who you associate with him, Allah, in worship. Nothing can happen to me except when my Lord Allah wills something. My Lord comprehends in his knowledge all things. Will you not then remember? And how should I fear those whom you associate in worship with Allah, through they can neither benefit or harm nor harm? Why do you fear not that you have joined in worship with Allah things for which he has not sent down to you any authority? So which of the two parties has more right to be in security? If you but know. It is those who believe in the oneness of Allah and worship none but Him alone, and confuse not their belief with zulm, wrong. For them only there is the security, and they are the guided. And that was our proof which we gave Ibrahim against his people. We rise whom we will in degrees. Certainly, your Lord is all-wise, all-knowing.
So actually, sisters, this is the story of the belief of Prophet Ibrahim. At the beginning, we must know that Prophet Ibrahim, the father, was a stone carver. He carved images of the idols which his people worshipped. Prophet Ibrahim grew up in this environment, but to him, the deity to be worshipped, the one who has created all the living things, the one whom the people turn for help in all situations, cannot be an idol made of stone or wood, as these idols cannot create, listen, respond, or provide sustenance. Hence, they are not worth worshipping. Accordingly, Prophet Ibrahim, the tolerant and the fine-mannered, clarified these above realities to his father, who was an idol worshipper, clarifying to him that worshipping idols means going astray. Accordingly, Prophet Ibrahim rejected falsehood and started to research for his Lord. Allah the Almighty showed him some aspects of the kingdom of the heavens and the earth so that he could reflect on some of the great signs of the truth. Then he would be able to make the correct link between his pure nature and the Lord of guidance, Allah the Almighty. The people of Prophet Ibrahim, mostly they worshipped idols and they worshipped the stars. Accordingly, Prophet Ibrahim hoped to find his Lord in the stars. So one night he saw an elevated star having a shining light. So he said, "This is my Lord." You know, sister, this is the situation of most of the prophets before their spirit reached to Allah. They always go to faraway places and they start to look around to the heaven looking for the, for the Lord. The star fits. Prophet Ibrahim was upset as his nature has no love for anything that fits. Again, on a particular night, Prophet Ibrahim saw the elevated moon with a light that spreads all over the place. But the moon sets. So Ibrahim at that moment realized that he needs help from his true Lord. He feels that he will remain astray unless his Lord helps him with his guidance and shows him the way. The third experience of Prophet Ibrahim was with the sun, the largest, the brightest, and the hottest of visible stars. The sun is like the moon, it rises and sets every day. At this moment, everything becomes clear. A contact is made between the pure spirit of Prophet Ibrahim and Allah, the true Lord. Ibrahim realized that his Lord is not a bright planet, a rising moon, or a shining sun. He is not one to be seen with the human eye or felt with the other physical senses. He is the one who is recognized by man's heart, nature, and reason, and consciousness or alike. Again and again, sisters, we must believe that we are not supposed to see our Lord. And none is supposed to see our Lord. Because his nature is different than the nature of the human being. When we recite, say, "He is the one, he begets not, nor was he begotten," nothing is similar to Allah. So this must be the basic fact related to the belief in the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the one who is controlling everything, the only one who has the will and the power. He cannot be like human being. We cannot see him. We cannot talk to him. He cannot go to the bathroom. He cannot be kicked by the people. This is not the Lord. This can be the case of a prophet who is calling the people to worship the Lord. But the Lord must be different. This is actually healthy for the spirit of the human being. For the healthy spirit, I cannot accept that the Lord of the heavens and the earth can be a human being like me. I cannot believe in this, to tell you the truth. With all the respect to all the religions. You know, sisters, and this is what Prophet Ibrahim is clarifying, that Allah cannot, the Lord cannot be the one to be seen with the human eye or felt with the other physical senses. At that point, Prophet Ibrahim decided to turn with complete devotion to Allah and to call his people to worship only Allah. When the link between his spirit and Allah was contact, he felt the existence of Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Accordingly, he decided to call his people to worship Allah. And again, sister, this is the most important reality of the true belief in the Lord, is that there will be a contact, there will be a link between your spirit and the Lord. You will feel the Lord in your spirit. Okay? And the more you feel the greatness of the Lord, the more you believe that he is not a human being. He is not similar to anyone. Because I believe how great is he. how his power is great. Everything in this worldly life is run by him, and everything on the day of judgment will be run by him. And the final decision for the heaven or the earth eternally is only by Allah. Accordingly, logically, Allah must be totally different from any other thing which we can see or live or meet in the worldly life. Actually, sister, this is the reality of the belief. The more you learn about Allah, the more you believe that Allah is totally different and Allah is beyond the imagination of the human being. And actually, it is one of the gifts for the true believers when they will be in the paradise, is that Allah, they will see Allah, the Almighty. This is what they were looking for in the paradise. So, Prophet Ibrahim, so when you have this link with Allah the Almighty, immediately, sisters, you will feel the peace in your spirit. If you want to know you are a true believer in Allah's oneness or not, in reality, not by words, because there are trillions of Muslims. But only Allah knows who are the true believers, because true belief means the link. And the second I have the link, I will feel Allah's existence, immediately I will feel that I am belonging to Him. I am His servant. I am His slave. I want to obey Him. I want Him to be pleased with me. My life is for the sake of worshipping Him. I cannot forget about Him. I cannot be disobedient to Him, because I have the link with Him all the time. So this is what happened to Prophet Ibrahim. Accordingly, he decided to call his people to worship none but Allah. His people came to him with their arguments about his declared belief in Allah's oneness, and they warned him against what their idols and deities might inflict on him. Prophet Ibrahim, who could feel Allah within himself and in the universe around him, confronted them with reassurance. And you know, sister, this is the reality of the belief. When you believe in the oneness of Allah, in reality, from the depth of your heart, and you decide to obey Allah the Almighty, then the other people will come, the other Muslims, okay, will come and tell you, why you are so strict? Why you are so obedient? Why you complicate life with the rules of Allah? This is too much. Okay, at that moment, your heart will speak, not your tongue. Your heart will answer them. This is out of my control. Out of the link with Allah, I am obeying Him. I am believing in Him. I want Him to be pleased with me. This is something which I don't have control on it, because this is the belief in the oneness of Allah. And this is actually, sister, the gift of Allah to the true believer, is that you obey Him from the depths of your heart while you feel no control. It is very easy. It becomes your nature to obey Allah. You feel happy when you obey the commands of Allah. You feel very upset when one day you cannot wake up for Fajr prayer, or you cannot pray Aisha prayer because you have visitors or whatever. You will feel upset. You will feel something in your heart. Why? Because of the link. You have a correct link with Allah. When you don't have a correct link with Allah while you are a Muslim, okay, you will not be bothered whether you believe Fajr prayer or not. If I don't pray Fajr prayer for 1 week, what is the problem? Most of the people, they don't wake up very early. Now Fajr prayer is 5:25 around. Okay, it is very difficult for me. No problem. What about Aisha prayer? Sometimes I pray, sometimes no problem. This no problem equals to the weak in the belief in the oneness of Allah. If you believe in Him, in reality, you will try your best. Maybe one day I will not wake up. Maybe one day I will not pray Aisha prayer. I am tired, I am exhausted, whatever. But I am upset, and next day I will be in a hurry to pray it. Okay? Not the other situation. I don't care. What is the problem? I am still a believer. I am still a Muslim. No, you have a problem. You have a problem with the obedience of Allah. And it is related, sisters, again, to the belief in the oneness of Allah. When the belief in the oneness of Allah will be very clear in your spirits, okay, and this is again and again, because you are all revered sisters, this is related, sister, to believe that the only power, the only will, the only mercy, the only decision in your life is up to Him. Accordingly, I must believe in His oneness. When I believe in His oneness from the depth of my heart, His obedience will be my nature. I will try my best to obey Allah. But I am a human being. I am sometimes lazy. I am sometimes weak. Okay? But this is not my nature. So all the time, sisters, try to have your link with Allah. Okay? The right one. The strong one. And have a focus on your link with Allah. When you wake up one day in the morning and you feel that you are not interested to pray, for example, okay, I will not pray today, I am very upset, everything is not good in my life, I was praying for some time, but what can I do? You know, this is shaitan is coming to you, okay, remind yourself with the mercy of Allah. Remind yourself that you are living your life through Allah's mercy. Remind yourself that Allah is the one who created you. Allah is the one who shaped you in the best shape. Allah is the provider. Allah is the sustainer. Okay? And remind yourself with the power of Allah. Allah has the power to vanish you in 1 second. So why you are not praying? Why you are not obeying? Why you are not having a good relation with Him? This is the most important for the stability of the spirit, is that I send to my spirit the message, Mona, Allah is pleased with you. Mona, Allah will take care of you today. Mona, you are never alone. Mona, Allah will make for you an outlet. Don't worry. Don't worry at all, because He is the one who has all the power. None can harm you. None can cause any trouble for you. Be stable. Have peace. Okay? This is the, you know, sister, this is actually the medicine for all the spirits. Not the antidepressant or the sleep medication or whatever. The only medicine. And actually, sister, this is the wisdom of Allah. Today I was discussing with my daughter, we will continue, but this is very important for you because you are revered. I was discussing with Yusra, my youngest daughter, so she is always after the materialistic enjoyment. You know, she's telling me, I want to study day and night so that I can buy a mansion, I can buy, you know, whatever car I can. So I told her, Yusra, this is not the real happiness. I don't want you to be a materialistic person. She told me, why? The very rich people are the most happy people. The happy. I told her, no, Yusra, this is wrong. She told me, but when we look around, we always see the happiness in their eyes. I told her, no, Yusra, this is not the reality. I told her, Yusra.
Take it away just like that. It can be taken away.
It can be taken away. And also, you know, Daniel, there is a great wisdom related to Allah the Almighty, but we don't have time to reflect. You know, regarding the materialistic enjoyment, they always give you happiness, but short-term happiness. Then you become familiar with what you have. Then you forget about it, and you have the burden of your own problems. I told her, Yusra, suppose now we are living in a mansion with $5 million, but you are failing in all your exams, and your father is fighting day and night, and your sister is not in a good shape. Okay, we will look to the mansion and we will start laughing and feeling very happy, or we will cry day and night. And when someone will tell us, but you live in a mansion, I tell her, take the mansion, but solve my problems. You know, I am not happy. I am not aware of what I am living in. I am aware of my problems. So I told her, Yusri, this is Allah's wisdom. Out of His wisdom, He made the happiness related to the materialistic enjoyment very short one. The minute I buy the house, the second minute I want to buy something else. Okay? Hold on, be happy with the house, no problem, I have it already. Let me look for the furniture. Let me look for the car. Let me look, the minute I buy the car, oh, but look to the car of our neighbor. Still more better. You see, this is how Allah created us sisters, you know, but we don't know our nature. Accordingly, okay, what is the source of the true happiness? The true happiness is in the heart. I told her this materialistic issue, we evaluate it through our minds. But happiness is not through the mind. Happiness is in the heart. And the heart is connected to Allah. Only Allah can give me the happiness. And only Allah can take from me the happiness. Only Allah can shower me with His mercy. In spite of the fact, you know, I am sick, I am not rich, I am not anything, but I am happy. I am content. I accept my life. I am trying my best to live every minute in my life. How? Through my heart. Who is controlling your heart? You don't have any materialistic issue in this life. Allah, the Almighty, is controlling my heart. And out of His mercy, He is showering me with reassurance, peace. Be content with your life. Accept what is going on. Everything will be alright. You have a hope. You have a better situation than other people. This message of reassurance, I am receiving it from Allah every day in the morning. Those whom they are living in the mentioned or having whatever they have, they are not receiving it. So, you know, sister, this is the most great blessing. That try to connect with Allah all the time. Don't lose this connection for the sake of anything. Don't be busy. Don't waste your time, your day, okay, for the sake of happiness from any way. While you don't have the right connection with Allah, you will never feel happy at all. You will lose the day. You will run and you will eat and you will go and you... But real happiness... I don't have it in my heart. But we learned in our worldly life to put the mask. Everyone is putting the mask. How are you, sister? Well, I'm very good. How are you, sisters? Everything is all right. MashaAllah, we are all in a good shape. Alhamdulillah.
This lady surprised me. She said that people expect rich people are always happy. So when she leaves the house, she has to smile. She's obligated to it.
This is the issue.
Oh, wow.
Yes. You see, this is 100%. And to tell you the truth, whether the rich or not the rich, whenever you leave the house, you must smile. Mm-hmm. You know? Because you cannot say your reality to every human being. I am not supporting
everyone. It's very odd to see a rich person walk around just depressed. Oh, I'm so depressed.
You know why? No, you know why?
They
know why they put the smile? Because they are arrogant. I am not supposed to show my weakness to those people. No. I am special case. I must always be in the best shape.
Well, these people wouldn't like that either.
Hmm? You know, I wouldn't like a rich person if they were complaining.
You know, they are complaining.
They do it so that people won't stop liking them. Like, who wants to hear a rich person complaining, you know?
SubhanAllah.
Who wants to hear that?
SubhanAllah.
They complain because they have to work too hard to continue.
So then get rid of all that stuff.
Yeah. Problems and all that.
They can't enjoy their mansion because they have to work. They can't stay there and enjoy it because...
You have to go there. Assalamu alaikum.
It's good to see you. Do you want a cookie?
I hope to see you, sister. I was just informed all of these facts so that you can actually realize why Prophet Ibrahim decided to call his people to Allah because of his link. He feels that Allah is within himself and in the universe around him. And actually he tells to his people that Allah himself had helped him, opened his mind and showed him his right guidance. So how can they argue with him about something he feels deep down within himself? He declared that he fears nothing whatsoever from their deities, since he knows that nothing befalls him except by Allah's will and with Allah's knowledge. We will read now about the conversation between Prophet Ibrahim and his people from Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah number 29, from verse 16 to 23. How it was very difficult for Prophet Ibrahim to call his people to Allah and how they tried to punish him for that call, but actually we will learn about Allah's mercy and how Allah saved him from their punishment. InshaAllah, surah number 20, we'll start with verse number 16. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa Ibrahim iz qala li qawmihi abudu Allah wa attaquuh. Then khayrun lakum in kuntum ta'budun. Innama ta'budun min duni Allahi awthana wa takhliquna ifka. إن الذين تعبدون من دون الله لا يملكون لكم رزقا فابتغوا عند الله الرزق واعبدوه واشكروا له إليه ترجعون وإن تكذبوا فقد كذب أمم من قبلكم وما على الرسول إلا البلاغ المبين أولم يروا كيف يبدأ الله الخلق ثم يعيده إن ذلك على الله يسير قل سيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف بدأ الخلق ثم الله ينشئ النشأة الآخرة إن الله على كل شيء قدير يعذب من يشاء ويرحم من يشاء وإليه تقلبون وما أنتم بمعجزين في الأرض ولا في السماء وما لكم من دون الله من ولي ولا نصير والذين كفروا بآيات الله ولقائه أولئك يئسوا من رحمتي وأولئك لهم عذاب أليم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And Ibrahim, when he said to his people, worship Allah and fear him, that is better for you if you did not but know. You worship besides Allah only idols, and you only invent falsehood. Verily those whom you worship besides Allah have no power to give you provision. So seek your provision from Allah alone, and worship Him, and be grateful to Him. To Him you will be brought back, and if you deny, the nations before you have denied, and the duty of the messenger is only to convey plainly. See they not how Allah originates the creation, then repeats it? Verily that is easy for Allah. Say, travel in the land and see how originated the creation, and then Allah will bring forth the creation of the hereafter. Verily, Allah is able to do all things. He punishes whom He wills, and shows mercy to whom He wills, and to Him you will be returned. And you cannot escape in the earth or in the heaven. And besides Allah, you have neither any wali nor any helper. And those who disbelieve in the ayat of Allah and the meeting with Him, it is they who have no hope of My mercy. And it is they who will have a painful torment.
So actually, sisters, Prophet Ibrahim tried his best to call his people to believe, to... So actually, Prophet tried to call his people, they refused to listen him. So the time came when Prophet Ibrahim planned to destroy the idols of his people. We will read now from Surah number 37. We will read from verse 83 to verse 98 about this event which made a change actually or a twist in the life of Prophet Ibrahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن من شيعتي لإبراهيم إذ جاء ربه بقلب سليم إذ قال لأبيه وقومه ماذا تعبدون أئفكا آلهة دون الله تريدون فما ظنكم برب العالمين فنظر نظرة في النجوم فقال إني سقيم فتولوا عنه مدبرين فراغ إلى آلهتهم فقال ألا تأكلون ما لكم لا تنطقون فراغ عليهم ضربا باليمين فأقبلوا إليه يزفون قال أتعبدون ما تنحتون والله خلقكم وما تعملون قال ابنوا له بنيانا فألقوه في الجحيم فأرادوا به كيدا فجعلناهم الأسفلين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And verily among those who followed his way was Ibrahim. When he came to his Lord with a pure heart, when he said to his father and to his people, what is it that which you worship? Is it a falsehood, aliyah, other than Allah that you desire? Then what "Then what think you about the Lord of the Alameen?" Then he cast a glance at the stars, and he said, "Verily, I am sick." So they turned away from him and departed. Then he turned to their Aliyah and said, "Will you not eat? What is the matter with you that you speak not?" Then he turned upon them, striking with his right hand. Then they came towards him, hastening. He said, "Worship you that which you carve, while Allah has created you and what you make." They said, "Build for him a building and throw him into the blazing fire." So they plotted a plot against him, but we made them the lowest.
So actually, sister, this is the story of Prophet Ibrahim with the idols. Allah the Almighty again repeated the same story, but with the full details in Surah number 21. We will read from verse 51 to verse 71 so that you know, inshallah, the whole story with the full details. Read now from Surah number 21, from 51 to 71.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. "And indeed we bestowed aforetime on Ibrahim his guidance, and we were well acquainted with him. When he said to his father and his people, 'What are these images to which you are devoted?' They said, 'We found our fathers worshipping them.' He said, 'Indeed, you and your fathers have been in manifest error.' They said, 'Have you brought us the truth, or are you one of those who play about?' He said, 'Nay, your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, who created them, and to that I am one of the witnesses. And by Allah, I shall plot a plan, your idols, after you have gone away and turned your backs.' So he broke them to pieces, except the biggest of them, that they might turn to it. They said, 'Who has done this to our Aliyah? He must indeed be one of the Zalimun.' They said, 'We heard a young man talking against them, who is called Ibrahim.' They said, 'Then bring him before the eyes of the people, that they may testify.' They said, 'Are you the one who has done this to our gods, O Ibrahim?' Ibrahim said, 'Nay, biggest of them did it. Ask them if they can speak.' So they turned to themselves and said, 'Verily, you are the Zalimun.' Then they turned to themselves, 'Indeed, you, Ibrahim, knew well that these idols speak not.' Ibrahim said, 'Do you then worship besides Allah things that can neither profit you nor harm you? Fie upon you, or fie upon you and upon that which you worship besides Allah. Have you then no sense?' They said, 'Burn him and help your Aliyah if you will be doing.' We said, 'O fire, be you coolness and safety for Ibrahim.' And they wanted to harm him, but we made them the worst losers. And we rescued him and loot to the land which we have blessed for the Alameen."
So actually, sisters, now we will learn about Prophet Ibrahim and his people and how he destroyed their idols. It was the time of a religious festival for which his people left the town. Prophet Ibrahim was invited to attend, but he excused himself. As the temple was deserted, Prophet Ibrahim made his way there and approached the gold-plated wooden idols, which meals were left in front of them. So Prophet Ibrahim said to the idols, "Will you not eat? Why you speak not?" Then he attacked the idols, reducing them into fragments, all except the chief of them. When the people returned, they were shocked to see the destruction of the temple. They were wondering who could have done this to their idol. Someone mentioned the name of Ibrahim. When they called him to their presence, it was for him to show them their foolishness. He said, "You worship that which you yourself do carve, when Allah has created you." They were very angry, so they got straight to the point. "Is it you who have done this to our gods, O Ibrahim?" But Ibrahim had left the largest idol untouched for a reason. He said, "But this, their chief, has done it." So question them if they can speak. When Ibrahim so challenged them, they were cast into confusion. They blamed each other for not guarding their idols. They replied, "Indeed, you know well this, speak not." So Ibrahim pressed his case. He said, "You worship instead of Allah that which cannot profit you at all, not harm you. Have you then any sense?" They had no answer for Ibrahim because his words were illogic. But they decided to revenge, and they decided to throw him in the hot fire. How? They gathered wood for the fire until it was the largest fire they had ever seen, and they threw Ibrahim in the fire. But life is not run by the will of the human being. Life is run by the will of Allah the Almighty. Allah had not willed that this is the fate of Ibrahim, for he had a great mission ahead of him. He was to be the father of the greatest prophets sent to humanity. So Allah's mercy saved Prophet Ibrahim as Allah commanded the fire to change its burning nature and to become coolness and peace for Ibrahim. Then he escaped the fire unharmed. Transforming the fire so as to give Ibrahim coolness and inner peace is only one example of Allah's infinite ability, Allah's mercy. This is what we are learning today about the power of Allah's mercy. There are countless other difficulties and circumstances that when Allah administrates just a small touch of His mercy, so Allah will bring life instead of death, happiness instead of misery, endless goodness instead of unlimited evil. That is to say, we may see how the command that made the fire cool, bringing peace to Ibrahim, is frequently repeated in the life of individuals, groups, and community. This command is only a manifestation of Allah's mercy. So actually, sisters, we all must remember the miracle of Allah's mercy. And we must remember that the miracle of Allah's mercy cannot be subjected to human standards, as this mercy can change the nature of the objects. This is, sisters, the continuation of what I was discussing about the belief and the contact and the link with Allah the Almighty. When you have this link with Allah the Almighty, you will have the belief that Allah can do everything and Allah can do anything. You know, this must be clear in the spirit of the true believer in the oneness of Allah. Allah the Almighty can change the nature of the objects. For example, the fire loses its nature, and instead of being source of hotness and destruction, it becomes a source of goodness and peace. You know, sister, you must reflect in this fact. Allah created the fire to be a source of hotness and destruction. In the case of Prophet Ibrahim, Allah the Almighty changed the nature of the fire. It becomes a source of coolness and a source of peace. This is the miracle of Allah's mercy, which every one of us has circumstances in his life when Allah was showering you with this mercy. But because we always forget Allah's mercy, we are not always remembering these events. For example, you know, and actually this happened to me. Once I had severe bleeding, sudden. I was above 50. And my husband, you know, because he was working in MD Anderson, he told me this is a very bad sign to have sudden, severe, continuous bleeding. You know, and I told him, maybe I will die. I don't know what will happen. Just I want to pray. You know, because with the bleeding, I have to wash for every bleeding because this is not a period, you know. It stopped before, 6 years before. So he insisted that I must meet, you know, a gynecologist in MD Anderson. I went and I met the gynecologist. And I told her, you know, I just want to stop the bleeding. I don't want too much investigations. I don't want to know the reality. Okay, the truth about my situation, I don't want to know it. I just want, you know, to stop the bleeding. She told me, no, 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 this is not accepted. My husband told her that I was a pediatrician. She told me, this is mentality of a pediatrician. I am very upset. What are you saying? We must do investigation. We must take samples. We must, and I think your situation is very critical. Mm-hmm. I told her, thank you very much. You will not take any samples. You know, she called my husband. She told him, it was actually Friday afternoon. She told him, now we are Friday afternoon. Try to enjoy the weekend. I always remember her advice because I have few days, you know. Try to enjoy the weekend. Monday, 9 o'clock in the morning, she must be in the clinic. So, you know, we left. M.D. Anderson, my husband, was very upset. Allah knows that this is, you know, this happened to me when I just arrived to Houston. So when we arrived home, I told him, Muhammad, I want from you one thing. He told me what? I told him, please write to the doctor that I will not come back. I will not follow up with her. She insisted to take some lab investigation. I don't want to know the result. He told me this is not accepted because you are the patient. You must write to her. I don't have the right to write instead of you. This is your file. So I told him, okay, give me her email. I wrote to her, I don't want any lab investigation, the result. Please forget that you meet me. I am very thankful to you, but this is my decision. And please inform your nurse not to call me by mistake. Okay, then Allah knows. I send this email, then I start praying to Allah. I said to Allah, oh Allah, I don't want surgical intervention. I don't want chemotherapy. I don't want irradiation. I don't want life with this in these circumstances. I can't tolerate it. Give me life while I am healthy or take my spirit. But I don't want this situation at all. I kept on calling on Allah day and night in this supplication. Allah the Almighty knows that after 5 days, the bleeding stopped completely. It was very severe one. And my husband was telling me, this is wrong decision. This is ignorance. You are not a physician. What are you doing? You will put us in a big trouble. You will have shock once because of the loss of blood. I told him, Muhammad, if I have shock, leave me until I die in the room. Don't call anyone. I don't want. Allah knows. You know, because I call on Allah to give me life while I am healthy or to take my life. I am not the one after, you know, all what is going on with treatment of cancer. This is too much for my spirit. There are other people. Allah is creating people in different shapes. But for me, I can't tolerate this. And after 5 days, all praise to Allah, the bleeding stopped.
What was it?
Nobody knows. You
so
know,
why didn't you go to the doctor if he didn't want her to help you?
No, meet the doctor because the doctor, yeah. You know...
Saying, why did you go to her in the first place?
You have this story in my life, but to tell you the truth, all praise to Allah. You know, because I am always looking for Allah's mercy. I always feel Allah's mercy in many events in my life. All praise to Allah. You always expect something to turn bad. But out of Allah's mercy, it always turns good to the extent that you can't imagine. So this what we are learning in the story of Prophet Ibrahim, the one who called his people to worship Allah, and they were upset with him. He didn't stop. He destroyed their idols. They were upset with him. They throw him in the fire, but Allah saved him. I just want to tell you what is the words of Prophet Ibrahim when he was thrown in the fire. These words are mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, verse number 173. So that whenever you have a trial or you have a disaster in your life, always remember these words of Prophet Ibrahim and call on Allah, inshallah, to save you from that disaster or that trial. We will read from